Thank you for joining me for a glorious time in Studio C. Today, we're going to study the Word about goodness and the mercy of our great God. Welcome to Glorious Living. I'm Kathy DuPlantis. I'm so glad that you're joining me today because I have my daughter Jody and Chrissy back with us.
I love being with you, Jody. We have fun together.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you've been on here several times, but I just felt like it was time for to bring Jody back.
Bring Jody back by popular demand. We got her here.
On her birthday, she asked me. She knew I couldn't say that.
I'm sneaky that way.
Yeah, it was a perfect time, and it was divine.
Every time you come on, Jody, we get so many great comments. You know, I've often called people... told people when I describe Jody, I say she's Jesse in a skirt. I don't know if she likes that comment, but
I like it. I think it's great.
But they are, I mean, you have to have compassion on me. I live with both of these. I'm like the plain bread between two extremes.
That's not true.
That is so not true.
I love it. That's so funny.
But well, I do love hearing your comments. Let us know, because maybe we'll be able to get her back in. So let us know your comments. And we always love to read our comments,
people that send things in.
I think you have a great one for today to start off with.
I love reading the comments. So if you're watching right now and you want to connect with us, please just type what you want to say. We love reading it. I have one from Diana. She's a Glorious Living viewer. Maybe she's watching right now. Hi, Diana. It says, truly a glorious teaching on imitating God through holiness, wisdom, power, and love. This has blessed me so much. You two are darling together. Well, thank you. And great women of God. Lastly, Kathy, you're like a spiritual mother to me. I wish I lived closer to you so that I can glean more from you. I thank God for technology. God bless you and your families. Well, thank you, Diana. That was awesome. And it's true. Thank God for technology. There's no distance between us right now.
That's right. So let us know where you're watching from. We love to know where our viewers are coming from. They come from all over the world.
They sure do. We have some
regulars that join us.
We
kind of feel like they're just around the table.
Yeah.
You know, just a friend sitting there at the table. Several thousands of great friends.
I love it so much.
I like that they think of you like spiritual mom. I get to share.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that great?
I'm an only child. Not really, then.
Yeah. You have children, like siblings in Australia, Uganda,
She's got a lot to give. The UK.
It's all great.
Mama wanted a bunch of children.
I did. I wanted six when I first got married.
Oh, Miss Kathy.
Jesse says he cast the devil out of me. But he didn't want any. He didn't want any.
And we got one. And now you have tons and tons and tons all over the world.
Yeah, that's so good. I love that so much.
I love it.
You know, it's important to realize that God does connect us together. And
absolutely.
It blesses me that some of you out there consider me a mentor or a spiritual parent, a spiritual mother. And this is why we do this, Chrissy.
It is.
You know, and I love it when we have guests, especially like my daughter Jody today.
Oh, one of my favorites. I'm a little biased.
Yeah, well, she has something on her heart today, and we just gave her the free rein to just choose the subject because she's so full of wisdom. You know, and so modest. But we're going to just hear from Jody, and she's got some scriptures that God has put upon her heart, but we're going to study about that today.
So they asked me, you know, what do you want to talk about? I have no clue what to talk about. I tend to just bounce off of whatever everybody's talking about. Mm-hmm. So I thought that this is personal to me. And I said, well, this is what God keeps telling me, and I keep repeating this scripture over myself, like, every day. And I don't often do that, where one verse kind of stands out, and then he just keeps kind of bringing it up more and in different kind of ways. So I love being outside. I kind of access God through nature a lot. I love my animals. I love my garden. One thing that I did when I first moved in is we had fence because Meredith was little and wanted to keep her when I'm on a main kind of highway. And so we have this picket fence, and I planted vines all around the fence to give me privacy and sound barrier from the road. And I planted those little bitty flowers. Some people call them star jasmine. Other people call them Confederate jasmine, and they smell wonderful. But it takes like 2 years for them to get thick. Now they are crazy. And if you know anything about gardening in that way, if you plant jasmine, if it likes its place, it literally doubles and triples versus places that don't get the sun. Mm-hmm. So I sit on my porch a lot and I see this thing, and God just kept bringing me, first, it's the main scripture is surely the goodness and mercy, I say, of the Lord will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is a scripture I've been speaking over myself. It's like a declaration. Yeah. All of Psalm 23 is just six verses that are so famous that we just don't even think about them much because they're so famous. We're so used to hearing them. But I like Dad's message, the dangers of familiarity, because I think sometimes those things, there's a reason why it's so popular.
Wow, yes.
You know, but one of the verses that I want to start with to just show you how I kind of got there the other day, God was showing me my vine, and he brought me to, I am the vine, you are the branches, to show me how do I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That starts in that time, that was the temple, right? So they, David is talking about the house of God, but he's also talking about what the house of God represented in those days, which was the presence of God. And I just think of it like the day I got saved is the day eternity started for me.
Hallelujah.
You know what I mean?
That's
and so
good.
I will dwell in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord forever, no matter what.
Wow.
No matter, and this world is chaotic and crazy right now, but no, my dwelling place is in the house of the Lord, in the presence of God. And how could I do that? Because he's the vine and I'm the branch. And we have, you know, we got these mice sometimes that come because I hung bird feeders all around my house.
The mice.
And one night I'm going down and I'm looking and I see, you know, there's a rat in, well, I don't know if you call it a mouse or a rat, somewhere in between, belly down in the bird feeder, just and I realized
that's when I'd run.
My vines have become like a home to a lot of things. And I'm trying to get rid of them. Move the bird feeders, because then you get mice, then you get snakes to eat the mice, and then nature just takes over.
Oh, man.
But anyway, so we've been trimming it, and I just noticed, like, you know, sometimes my husband will trim something and leave it on the ground and come back and pick it up. If you leave it on the ground a couple days, it withers, it's died, it is brown, it's not hooked up to the vine, the branch. I'm the branch, he's the vine. It's not in the ground, it's not grounded, and it's dying. It's on its way to dying, and it's good for nothing. Brings no more smell, no more nothing, no more pride, any of that stuff.
Yes,
so that's
so
where
good.
I want to start with.
I love this.
Sorry for my long
that?
Intro, but
let's
going to just start with John 15. And this is the true vine.
Yeah, I hope you have a Bible. You can study along with me and Jody. She's got a great topic for us today. And
I'm
going to go to the Gospel of John.
John 15, and there's 1-7 I put in here. Because I want to show you how when you're hooked up to the vine, you can ask for what you want.
Because you know that he loves you.
That's so wonderful.
It does bring a certain level of confidence.
Oh, and that's the whole Psalm 23 is about confidence.
Uh-huh.
David is amazing for that.
Oh, yeah.
The confidence and courage. And I think I need courage and confidence sometimes. So probably why I like him so much,
I love
right?
I too. Amen. We all do that. We all need that. And it's a great study for everybody.
It is. Okay. So in your Bible, it probably starts with saying the true vine, and this is John 15.
John 15, what verse are we starting with?
The first one.
First one.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. That's what's talking about my vines at home, noticing that. And they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned, meaning it's gone away. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask for what you desire and it will be done for you. Because by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So he connects discipleship as being a part of him.
Amen.
And he is the true vine, meaning there are other vines that are not true. Mm-hmm. So what you hook yourself up to matters. What
it
you
does.
Watch and hear. Remember those when I was little, there used to be this song, Careful Little Eyes, What You See?
What?
Careful, remember those when I was little, there would be this song. It would say, Careful Little Eyes, What You See? Careful Little Ears, What You Hear?
I don't remember.
It was like a Sunday school song, Careful Little Eyes. And it's showing you all these gates that things are always coming at you. And it's
sure
a world
is.
That has a lot going on. But when you're careful of that, you know, you save yourself from harm.
Yeah.
You save yourself from things you can't unsee.
It's
or things
a choice.
You can't unhear.
It's a choice you make, and you guard your heart. You guard your by, and your heart. The entrance into your heart comes in through your eyes, your ears, or what you say.
And if you're watching this program, clearly you're doing the right thing, right?
Yeah,
you're
watching
some good. Because you're choosing something that's based on the true vine.
Yes, I love that.
Okay, so then I want to go to John 16:33, just one little page over there.
Next chapter.
Just talking about the world we live in, to me.
Okay.
So you're in the vine, but you're in the world, not of it, right? So
that's
John
right.
16:33 says, well, let me start a little bit further up. Disciples were complaining that Jesus was always talking figuratively and in parables, and they wanted him to just talk plainly.
Just
finally, he does,
and
he's like, he was giving us deeper truths. Anyway, they were saying, finally, you're speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from
God. That's verse 30.
Yes. 29 through 30.
Okay.
And Jesus answered to them in verse 31, do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, and has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and you will leave me alone. But I love this part right here because he says, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me, and these things I have spoken to you, that in me you shall have peace. Mm. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
I love that verse.
This verse is interesting because when it says tribulation there, I read that, this was a word that was used to describe pressure, trouble, the pressures
right.
of life that come to pressure you down. But he says, right now he's talking about some things that are about to happen, trouble. When you get born again or when you get saved or you give your life to God, there's a lot of people who think that you're scot-free from trouble. No. In the world, you have trouble. This is part of living in a fallen world.
Yeah.
But Jesus is even saying, I'm going to have some trouble. Y'all are going to scatter. You're going to have some trouble.
Right.
And you know what? You're going to leave me alone. Nobody likes to be alone. Human nature wants to have some kind of connection. He says, no. He's reminding me, I'm not alone. I'm never alone because God is with me.
Amen.
Why? Yeah, I am hooked up to the vine, the true vine, the branches.
Right.
I'm hooked up to God. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, right? I'm in the presence of the Lord forever from the moment, so that God is never away from me. Mm-hmm. He doesn't leave me. He doesn't forsake me. He is always with me in everything. He was with Jesus. He's going to be with you. He's
That's
with
so
me.
Good. It's so
All
true.
Of
and,
these kinds of things.
And Jesus was speaking to them about things. They didn't realize what was about to happen.
Right.
He was about to get crucified.
Right. The worst trouble you can think of.
I know. So he's trying to prepare them to
yes.
realize that even though he will go away, they're never alone.
That
right.
is so
that.
Good.
I want to read that in the yeah. Passion, excuse yeah. me, in the Amplified
yes,
Bible.
Yes, yes.
It says, I have told you these things. This is verse 33, John 16:33. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture, by the way. It says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace.
Right.
In the world you have tribulation and distress and suffering.
Pressure.
But be courageous. Yeah, lots of pressure.
Pressure.
They were about to experience the most pressure they'd ever
Absolutely.
Experienced.
Absolutely.
So
sweat blood. You know how much pressure you have to feel under for your body? Yes,
blood.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what happens, yes, in the next chapter. We know that. But he goes on to say, but be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled
that.
With joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accompanied by my victory abiding. Now, this must be a different Amplified version because it has a whole lot, but it says one version of the Amplified Bible. This may not be the classic, but I think the classic says, I have deprived it of its power to harm you.
Wow.
Think about that.
I love that.
I love
deprived of its power. I love that they added the word in the Amplified, perfect peace.
Yeah.
Because how many of us need that perfect peace right now? I know I do. So reading this right now and putting myself in that, just closing my eyes and imagining being one of those disciples sitting there with Jesus and hearing these things. And the same Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he said it back then to them, he's saying it to us now.
Right.
And
right.
he's in us. So how much more what we can do with the power
and
that works in us.
And they were going through a lot. They were living in a time where it was like heresy following Jesus. And, They had their lives on the line.
Yeah.
And he was about to go to the cross. I mean, there was a lot of pressure. There was a lot of trouble from all of those disciples that were surrounding him. They were still clinging to the true vine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of them faltered along the way. But they were brought back except Judas, right?
Right.
He's the only one who didn't. And Peter did pretty much the same thing, but just forgave himself.
That's
true. You know what I mean? Like, he forgave himself and fell on the mercy of God. Sometimes the first person you got to forgive is yourself for the things that you go off on, or maybe that's you didn't stay close to that vine and you cut yourself off and you withered, and Judas is the perfect example
of
that.
It's so important to stay connected to the vine, like you say. Yeah. You know, some people there say, why are you studying the Bible? Is that relevant for today? It's
Absolutely. Totally relevant
because Jesus was crucified because of the words that he spoke, because of the truth that he spoke, and how we're living in the world today, how we realize, especially with coming from that, looking back at the Charlie Kirk assassination was because of words.
That's right.
Words that he said, truth that he believed. Mm-hmm. You know, when you speak the truth, the devil hates it, and he tries to silence you. But Jesus never tried to silence people. He entered into a dialogue. Paul the apostle was the same way. He entered into a dialogue. When he went into Athens, he got right in the middle of town, started preaching and saying what he believed. Mm-hmm. And that culture liked to hear everybody else's thoughts. And we need to still have make room to hear other people's thoughts. We can disagree, but not be disagreeable.
That's right.
And respect one another.
But no matter what you do, the truth is controversial.
It totally is.
Because the devil hates it. Mm-hmm. He hates the truth, right? Because he wants, he says, you know, he has blinded their eyes to the truth. He is trying to keep them blind. So every time, you know, the Word of God is called a sword in here, it's compared to a sword of the Spirit. It would not be compared to a weapon if it wasn't a weapon, not against people, but against the spirits that are motivating people to do wrong. And this is why they hate it. And when you look at the scriptures and you talk about the end times, and it lists this whole thing of how people will be in the end times, treacherous, brutal, lovers of self, only lovers of money. It's me, 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 mine, and nothing else.
You just described
it. But it says that they are selfish. They have no self-control, zero, right? So they can't help but like pop, but that's the spirit motivating them, and you got to look beyond it. Right. And I think that Charlie Kirk did something amazing, because that's a difficult spot to be in a confrontational world that is trying to attack you. That's like an enemy coming at you, and to be able to maintain your composure and still speak the truth and not be hurtful to people or get triggered and try to cut them, because a lot of people do that, right?
Yeah.
Well, even defending truth.
Right. Well,
they have no love.
He loved them enough to tell them the truth. And he said it in love, I believe. He was very courageous to get out there and say what he believed. Mm-hmm. And even if someone came against him. In fact, this is a great example for all of us to follow.
It is.
Jesus did that.
And he wasn't a perfect man. I'm sure he had things that weren't perfect about him. But look at how strong he was in that aspect.
Yeah.
You can't help but look at some people and see their strengths.
That's right.
And say, I want to be more like that. You know, I want to be more courageous, or have my maintain my self-control when speaking the truth. I want to say it in love so I'm not a clanging cymbal. There's 1,000 people talking about the truth that have no love behind
That's
it, and they just love cutting.
Yeah.
And it's a one-upmanship, I know more than you. That is not the Spirit of God.
Right.
You say, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me so
right.
that I can say things that I need to say, if I need to say them, if God leads me that way.
Of course.
With goodness.
This is so good.
Are y'all
enjoying this?
And mercy towards other people, because I want mercy.
I'm loving it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, who doesn't want that mercy?
I know.
I love reading this because it's so relevant to today's society. And I know many of you watching, you've had that boldness rise up. I believe
you have, we are in.
Oh, yes,
lately.
I definitely have, especially with the assassination of Charlie Kirk and just recent things that have been going on. There's a boldness that God places in you when these things happen, and it's up to us. It's our responsibility to obey that voice of God, to get in the Word, stay close to the vine, so that we can overcome everything, and we can, you know. And the devil wants us to shrink back in fear and go along, you know, that wide path, but we're called down that narrow road to salvation. So I'm just excited because I know people are being transformed right now hearing this.
Amen. And you had another scripture, Jody, you wanted to go to?
Definitely, the whole reason I'm here is for Psalm 23.
Okay. Yes.
And it's not all that to say this, but I'm going to read it backwards. Mm-hmm. First, I'm going to tell you the
first
one.
We're going to Psalm 23.
We're going to read those 6 verses. That's all it is.
I love that psalm. It's so
beautiful. The first line
of this.
Let
me get there for a minute.
All right.
Give everybody a chance to turn. Are you there, Chrissy?
Yes, ma'am. I just turned there.
I got this parallel Bible from the ministry. There you go. I usually read the iPad, but I just felt like I want to go to the scriptures today. Started in verse 6?
Well, I'm going to start at verse 6 instead. Well, we all know that this starts with, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Mm-hmm. So it begins with personal. He's my shepherd. He's not just the shepherd. And we know that Jesus is the good shepherd.
Yes.
In John 10:10, it says, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you might have life, and life more abundantly. Mm-hmm. And I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep.
Amen.
All right, so he is good. So we know that when he's talking about that, he's kind of relating it to David's. He's comparing himself, saying, you know, I am the Lord, he was talking about. Mm-hmm.
That's right? Amazing.
So
that's
it starts good. With, the Lord is my shepherd. And I love this because this is David's declaration. We know he had multitudes of trouble. He had so many things going on in his life. Yeah. But here he is declaring these good things over himself. And it's so courageous that you can see it was on the, you know, in the pastures and tending those sheep that he got strong in the Lord by himself, knowing I'm not alone.
Right.
The Lord is my shepherd. I'm shepherd to these sheep, mm-hmm. but the Lord is the shepherd of me.
Wow.
Right? So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But we're going to start at the end because verse 6, surely the goodness and mercy, I always say of God, but he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
I want you to notice this all the days of my life, all of them. End times, goodness and mercy is going to follow me. And I thought about it when God keeps showing this and bringing this up to me, trouble comes. But guess what? Goodness comes too.
Yeah.
Troubles comes, goodness comes. I go wrong way, mercy comes. I cannot outrun the goodness and the mercy of God. Mm-hmm. If I say this over myself, I'm declaring a good thing. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever.
Oh, wow.
No matter what's going on in this world, if the poles shift, if the microplastics in the water get in your skin. You know, I mean, they're always like,
it's always a catastrophe.
The world is full of like information, an onslaught of pressure, of everything that could go wrong. Sometimes I find myself worrying, right? And I'm going down that spiral. And it's almost like it's the opposite. And then I'm saying basically, surely the badness of the world is going to follow me every day of my life. Surely there will be no mercy, but nothing but
that
judgment
exactly
for me.
That's exactly what we're doing, but we
and
don't realize that.
I'm going to dwell in this hell forever.
Yeah, exactly. And we just speak it without realizing, we're declaring that.
What you're saying.
You're sabotaging your life.
When you're worrying, it's like saying, there is no shepherd for me. I have to do it on my own. I'm a sheep on my own.
Wow.
I'm weighted with wool. There's nobody to trim my wool down. You know what I mean? I'm thirsty and there's no still waters for me to drink. You know, it's that worry and spiraling is that. Do you know what I mean? There's no presence of God for me. I'm all alone. No. Jesus even says, no. You're all going to leave me. Meaning I will be physically alone, but I am never alone because the Lord is with me. Yeah. God is with me. Mm-hmm. Right? He's the vine. For Jesus, it was like saying, he is the vine, I'm the branch. For us, it's the same thing. Jesus and God, you know, the Trinity, it's a hard concept to understand, but, you know, he's the vine, we're the branches. I will dwell in that presence, mm-hmm. the house of the Lord, both physical churches you're going to on Sunday, because you don't forsake the assembly of yourself, especially as the day is approaching, and we can see that it is. Mm-hmm. But this really means the presence of God. And there's something powerful about a multitude of people in the presence of God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, when you talk about Charlie Kirk and those people that are like marching down the street all together, just singing, you know, decided to follow Jesus or whatever. How powerful it is to be in union with other people who feel that, mm-hmm. right? Okay, so surely the goodness, not the badness, and the mercy, not the judgment, will follow me all the days of life, and I will dwell in the presence of the Lord, not this world,
right.
forever. This world's going to pass away.
Yeah.
This word what we're talking about right now, this is the thing that's not going to pass away. Yeah. If God said it, it's forever. I'm going to dwell in his presence forever.
Come on.
Now, this is something that's also kind of joyful right before here.
Okay.
You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies.
Come on now.
You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. Mm-hmm. This is not about going, I'm eating the goodness of the Lord in front of my enemies.
Yeah.
You hated me.
Yeah.
You didn't want me to prosper. Even in my family, maybe you don't even like me. You know what I mean? You want to see me fall.
Wow.
You don't like when I prosper because it's bothersome to you. God's going to put it right in front of your face.
Come on.
Not because it's me getting one over on you. It's God showing them that no matter what you do to my servant, to my son, no matter what you say, you cannot subvert my plan for their life.
Yeah.
You can't take away the blessings of God on my children. Mm-hmm. The devil is not over my children. The devil does not govern God. God governs us. Because why? They're hooked up to me.
Right.
They're mine. I'm the good shepherd. They're my sheep. They have chosen to follow me.
You're preaching, Jody.
I can't help it, right?
But so that also tells me that God fights our battles.
That's right.
We don't have to be the one that's
fighting.
You're
not going to always fight.
Relax.
Yeah, relax. Yeah. It's because
well,
it's so easy.
Well, you're going right there pretty soon.
Oh,
to relax.
Yeah, it's so easy.
But I love this anointing my head and my cup runs over. And when we think of the anointing, we think of the Holy Spirit. But in this passage, what David's really talking about is like those oriental oils that they they would pour over. Mm-hmm. This was a form of favor and success and prosperity. Mm-hmm. And he's not just saying, I'm gonna be a little bit, you're gonna prepare a table for, you know, in the presence of my enemies. But you know what? Why? Because the Lord has given me favor and blessing. He's poured it over my head so much that it coats me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Mm-hmm. My cup runs over. Why does a cup need to be run over? So other people can have some too.
Exactly.
Right? So that favor and that success and that blessing is meant to kind of go through you, not just stay with you.
Good.
Right? And it moves on like that. So that's what that's about too.
That's awesome. That.
So that's really prosperity talking right
there. It totally is.
And so here's, and then we're going to verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Mm-hmm. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Mm-hmm. How can it be comforting to be like a rod is comfortable, a staff? Well, what's the rod? So the shepherd has a rod to protect the sheep from the predators. This is something, a big stick to hit the things that are coming their way because they can't see everything. I'm a mother. Right? Your mother, a two-year-old, they toddle that's all over. True. I was a big explorer. I used to leave all the time, right?
Love those stories.
They can't see their way. It's the mom's job to guide, right? That's the hook. That's the, what do you call it?
The
rod
hook.
And the shepherd's hook, right? The staff. Mm-hmm. The staff is the hook to kind of keep the sheep saying, hey, look, this is where the good grass is. This is where the cool
love that.
Grass is.
And just kind of
you know, and the baby's like running. The sheep wants to say, oh, man, that those woods look really good. The shepherd sees further up the road. He says, oh, yeah, then I know. It looks really, really good over there, right? But there's a cliff. And look, there's a wolf.
Wow.
Look what's over there.
Yes.
Stay in the good, sweet part. Mm-hmm. And the hook is there to pull you, which means you're a wanderer sometimes. Like, I was a wanderer. Sometimes I'm a wanderer in life, right? This is where the mercy of God kicks in.
Yeah.
Right? Surely the good. He wants for my good. And the mercy, he takes the hook and guides me.
Yeah.
But here's the staff. I mean, the rod to hit the predators that you don't see and the things that are out there. So there's a promise in here that David is declaring protection over himself.
Good.
He is declaring this over himself, and we can declare it too.
It's for us.
Right? It's for us too. So I want to say good things over myself, not bad.
Right?
And that's what this passage is really talking about there to me.
You know, we're not going to rush through this, even though we're going a little longer. I want us to finish this. It's okay to have a long, glorious living. Because I was just thinking about how I was always bragging on you as a child. I remember I would bring her, show her things. I remember her, I brought her ice skating.
I didn't believe anything because she said so many good things.
I never ice skated, so I would brag on her about, Jody can ice skate, and she was just going along. And she said, Mama, shut up. You make them think of Dorothy Hamill or somebody
Dorothy
like
Hamill
that.
Yeah, Dorothy Hamill was like a big Olympian at that point.
Well, I mean, it was funny that I didn't realize I was doing that.
Because you loved me so much, you wanted to speak good things over me. But I was like always had a detector for bull.
It wasn't bull. I was calling those things to be not as though they were.
I was like, have you seen me? I don't think it's true. Can I rely on you?
But you know, sometimes their parents, the kids don't really believe the truth about themselves. There's a lot of things I said about you you didn't believe, but
no, I didn't
it was true. I believe it was true. And I wasn't bullying you. I wasn't a BS. It was real.
I love that.
I was like, I don't know. You know, when you're a kid, you know, your parents could tell you some nice things, but it's hard to hear sometimes from people that love you. It's like you want to hear from strangers. It's absolutely ridiculous.
When you love your child so much, I mean, I just remembered having
Sophia. Like, you have
Sophia.
To say that because you love me. You
know? Yeah, well, she's 2 years old, and we went to the drum set right here at church, and she was going, with Tyler was helping her, and she was doing this, and I'm taking a video, and I'm like, oh, she's going to be a drummer. She's going to be a professional drummer. This is it. This is what we're doing. And,
you know,
it's a calm
this is what Chris that's what love does, right? Love believes the best.
And that's what God does for us.
Yes.
We look at the scripture and say, oh, no, I couldn't do that. God said, yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can.
I see your potential. We have to realize God's looking at us through our potential
that's
for our
beautiful.
Future.
That's beautiful. I love that.
And even if we only hit 30% of the potential, it's better than if we had never heard it at all
Keep
or
moving.
Had the guidepost.
Yeah. You know? And not measure yourself by somebody else's project progress and beat yourself up.
Right. You know? We have to grow. Mm-hmm. And God wants us to have that room to grow. And, you know, you can grow and flourish in a place where people love you. And they nurture you and they
that's
encourage
so
you.
But even if not, he's going to prepare a place in front of your enemies. You're gonna flourish anyway because he's with you.
Yeah, he's with me.
You know what I mean?
He leaves you.
Yeah, he's still going to do
it. I love that.
But it's so much better when the people around you, you know, that you can draw from them and maybe believe the best about
not
yourself.
Not everybody has that advantage. They live in a home where it's turmoil.
No,
but you can always go to the Word of God and get the strength that you need.
Right. Oh, and I like this so part good. Where it says, though, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I think of it as like, it wasn't just death, it's the shadow of it. The shadow of death is like the shadow, like something hanging over you, right? The pressures hanging over you, the spiraling of the mind, what might happen if I go through this valley. Mm-hmm. But it says through the valley, meaning that's the trouble, that's the tribulation of the world, but I'm still walking through it and you're with me. Though I walk through it, you know, I don't fear. Because you're with me. Mm-hmm. So worry is a form of fear. Anxiety is a form of fear. Spiraling is a form of fear. Totally. And what is that? That's the shadow of what might happen.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
when God
good.
Is saying, you know, I'm with you.
Yeah,
I'm with you no matter what happens.
Forever.
You're going to dwell with me forever.
Each and every day. And I love when you mentioned that part, because there's some days you just don't, you're not feeling that.
Of course.
But you declare it anyway.
Yeah, it's a point of saying something good over yourself and to lift yourself up. I'm sure that he is saying these things to lift himself up.
Of course.
Not everything we say is because we feel it at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Feelings come and go. The word of God is forever. But it'll pull us up out of those feelings. It'll help us have that separation that comes from dwelling with him.
I love that. You know, it just reminds me how David, like you said, he was building himself up. There was a time where he went into a cave and 400 people, men that were discouraged and dead and depressed, followed him in there. And he did some things and said some things that encouraged himself.
Yeah.
And others watched him, and they came out of that cave victorious. They became his mighty men.
Those words matter.
I wrote a book on it called How to Behave in a Cave.
Yep, right.
But because where's a deep, dark cave when you really want one? But, you know,
oh, I love a dark cave.
But he spoke things in that difficult place.
Yeah.
That helped him to come out of it, but also affected others around him. So whatever you do, realize so many are watching. You know, they're watching your life. They're watching how you apply yourself.
Surely the goodness
and mercy
of God.
No pressure.
We need the Lord to be with us to help us, but also for our family.
Yeah, that's true.
We're all called to be a witness for him.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we're going towards
the
end here.
We're moving on.
He restores my soul, which means your mind, will, and emotions sometimes do get battered by life. But he is
the restoration
of that. He says, I'm going to restore it. How does he restore it? With his word, just like we're talking about. I don't feel it, but look, I don't even know the words to say over myself. Well, God gave you this book right here.
That's right.
These are the words you can say over yourself to lift yourself up when you don't even know what to say.
Right.
All right? He leads me in the paths of righteousness, meaning the right ways. The right ways to go. He's the leader of me. He's the shepherd. I'm the sheep.
Amen.
Right? So I'm going to choose to let the shepherd shepherd me.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not going to say, you're my shepherd, but now I'm not going to listen
That's
to
right.
you.
That's right. It's a choice.
It's
you
a
have
choice.
To acknowledge it.
And why is he doing it? For his name's sake, right? It brings glory to God, but it shows other people too when you've gone through something. Like when you go through something hard and you come out on the other side and you actually have something good to say.
That's right.
About, you know, maybe it was a bad situation, but look what God did.
Yeah.
Surely the goodness and mercy of God follows me all the days of my life. Yes, trouble came, but look where I ended up on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the trouble sometimes, you know, that God can give you that goodness. You say, Paul and Silas, they're in a jail and they're singing. What is that? Dwelling in the secret place. That is hooked up to the vine. That's a separation. I see the circumstances around me. Circumstances are not going to determine how I feel, because guess what? The Lord is with me. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, I know y'all are going to leave me and scatter, but God is with me. I'm never alone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was leading there by example, because they're at one point, they're going to be by themselves. Remember, Peter would be crucified as well. He said, put me upside down. History says that's how he was martyred. Mm-hmm. There were many martyrs. I think all of the disciples, of course, Judas killed himself, but all of them were martyred except for John, the youngest one, who died of old age. He wrote the book of Revelation. But they all came to a point where they were alone physically, but they were not alone. Jesus and the Father was with them at the darkest point of their life.
The feeling of being alone is harsh. You know, that is something that we're really not built for. And many people feel alone even if they're in a crowded room.
True.
I mean, you see a lot of people who are surrounded by many people and still feel utterly alone.
Yeah.
Because you're always alone if you're separated from God. You're the branch on the ground. And I don't care how many other dead branches are around you or living branches, if you're not hooked up to the vine, to your Father, if you don't know your Father, or if you're not dwelling with him, you're going to feel alone at some point. You can only distract yourself so much. Do you know what I mean? You can only fill yourself up with certain things so much before you realize, I need the Lord so that I don't feel alone, right? And so that I feel strong.
Yeah,
I can
really
get through this life.
Relate to this, because before I got born again, I really felt alone. I was married to a nightclub entertainer, and you were just about a year and a half old at the time. And I had people around me, but I was alone. My family was all in Houma, Louisiana. I don't know how far away. I was way back up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Wow. And I felt that. And I didn't even realize that I was alone until I heard the gospel. And it opened my eyes to the truth. And my life was totally changed. All of a sudden, I realized I'm never alone again.
That's right.
And I had answers. And God gave me strength and peace. And I remember I started reading the Bible to you. We started studying the Bible together. We'd pray for Daddy together.
Oh, in the beginning.
You want to cry.
It was very,
it was precious. But I was alone before that point. And, you know, many of you that are watching today, you may be feeling alone as well. But we're here to tell you that you don't need to be alone. The Word of God has been given to us so that it can bring us comfort and peace. And today you're tuning in, watching, because God called you here. And I believe that God is touching your life. In fact, we're going to pray right now. Father, I pray for every person that's been watching and studying along with us. Let them know that your presence is right there with them. Surely we're going to dwell with you in your presence when we invite you into our heart. Well, if you don't know, if those that are watching that don't know you, Lord, I pray that they would just open their hearts to you. So, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Yes. Come into my life. Change me. Amen. I want to live for you. I don't want to be alone again. And I thank you for this. Father, I receive that in the name of Jesus. I believe that you prayed that prayer. You said that with your heart. Maybe you said it different words with your mouth, but God sees our heart. We don't have to say it perfectly, but we know that he's always with us. The Bible says he will never leave us, never forsake us. Today, you are on a new journey with Jesus Christ.
Oh, I love that
Amen.
So much.
I love it.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
So that goes to two, and then we're going to almost wrap it up here. He makes me to lie down in green pastures.
Amen.
He leads me beside the still waters. Sheep have a lot of fur, right? They can't be by rushing water. That still waters is peace. It's a chaotic world, and the Lord Jesus doesn't lead you into chaos. He always leads you into peace, right?
So
he makes you to rest and lie down.
Yeah.
He says, you make me to rest and lie down. So we know that sheep are like, you know, they're scared.
Yeah.
A lot, they were not going to lay down while they're scared.
Mm-hmm.
They want to feel at peace, and that's what the Lord brings you. Salvation starts like that with what peace, the peace of God, knowing, guess what? It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
It's going to be okay.
I'm not alone, and I'm going to dwell in the presence of God forever now.
It's going to follow me all the days of my life.
And the goodness and mercy of God's going to follow me all the days of life, no matter what's going on.
Yeah. I'm thankful that God surrounds us with people that help us to find that peace place. That's why church is so important. That's why godly friends are so important. And, you know, we need people in our lives that help us just to slow down for a moment. Don't rush into that decision. Take your time. Seek the Lord. Don't answer quickly. God will give you the right words to say.
That's real good.
And so even in the natural word this way, when you were saying that, I reminded how Jesse always says how he always wanted to see everything, never wanted to take a nap.
Yeah.
And your grandmother, his mom, she would put her fingers on his eyelids to close his
to
eyes.
To make him lay down in green pastures.
It sounds like
to
my
make
Sophia.
Him take a nap.
Yeah.
Is Sophia
that
way?
Oh, is she that way? And we have a little green, it's not a green pasture, but it's a little green chair. And I say, please.
Space sit.
So in the name of the Lord.
She knows she needs that rest time.
Yes, she does.
God knows we need that rest time. It's why he gave us the seventh day to rest.
That's why he puts our body down at night.
Yeah, we need recharge.
If you don't, you start going crazy, and eventually you will collapse, and you will be forced to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You can't not sleep.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So rest is needed for your body. It's needed for your soul.
Yeah.
He's the restorer of your soul.
Yeah.
You know, it's needful. And sometimes we don't want to rest. We think busyness is productivity. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, you can't even be productive if you don't have rest.
Right.
You think you're doing a whole lot. You're not really doing as much as
anything.
You think, as well as you think, if you're unrested.
Right.
Right? And you can't even make a good decision when you're unrested.
Mm-hmm.
So the rest is important.
It is.
And this is the last verse right here. And it's the first verse.
Okay.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's mine. It has to be personal for you.
Yes.
But I want you to notice that when David says the Lord is my shepherd, he connects it to blessings and no lack. Right?
That's good.
No want. No want. And so I looked back and I noticed this. No lack. No lack of rest. He says, I'm not going to want for rest because you're going to help me lay down
Come
in the
on,
green pastures,
thank you,
right?
Lord, right?
I'm not going to want for peace because you're going to lead me by the still waters, the not chaos. You know what I mean? I am not going to want for, I'm going to have the restoration, the peace for my soul. You know, I'm not going to want for chaos, both in my mind, out in the world.
No room for that.
You're going to guide me in the right way. So I'm going to have no lack when it comes to guidance. Dad always says that one of the verses he says all the time is about the truth of God.
Yes, you know, John 16, where he tells him that he'll guide us in all truth. Whenever you're looking to make a decision, that's a perfect verse to go to where Jesus says that he's the comforter. He tells us that he'll give it, lead us and guide us into all truth.
Right, all truth, all the days of your life. And so for 4, when he's talking the valley of shadow of death, I noticed like how courageous that David was declaring this over himself. So he says, my Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for courage. And the Lord is with me. I don't want for divine company. I always have company with me because the Lord is with me. Right. So it's protection from the predators, the rod and the staff is to the guidance. So he's going to guide me. Praise it's provision God. And blessings. He's going to make a way for me. That's even in the presence of people who don't want my best. He's going to show them that he's in charge of my best. They're not in charge of my best. They're not in charge of my future. God's in charge of my future. That's the shepherd guides the sheep, and I chose to be a sheep.
Amen.
I made that choice. That was a choice I made to allow him to
guide
me.
And these are the benefits of being a sheep.
It's the benefits. It's my rights. That favor is going to follow me all the days of my life. That oil is running from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Do you know what I mean?
I love it.
I know. Surely the goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life, even in the end times, even in the worst times. Goodness is coming. Mercy is coming.
Because that comes as a result of being in the presence of God.
I'll dwell in the presence forever. And that's it. That's all I got.
I love that. It was so good.
But this is what God keeps showing me. And it's like so sweet to me. It's so
courageous and I need courage.
I'm thankful he showed it to you and you can share it with me. Because Lord knows I need it. And we all do. We all need the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. We need that goodness and mercy. That's the key to glorious living right there.
Yeah.
It's I love that. And thank you, Jody, for taking the time to share what's been on your heart.
It's a little bit long.
I know we went a little longer, but I believe it's been good.
It
I think it's been a blessing, and I believe people have been touched and their lives have been changed.
So fun.
You know, the Word of God is so full, so rich. And when we trust, like you said, trust in the vine, stay with God, abide in Him, then His words abide in us. We can ask whatever we will.
Right.
And it'll be done for us.
Right.
And this is how we glorify God.
That's good news.
This is because that branch just gives us the life. That's where the blessings are coming from, the healings are coming from, all the good things are coming. That's where the mercy's coming from. So when we're hooked up to Him, we can't help but be blessed in all those ways, right? We can't help but not suffer lack.
That's right.
I have peace, not chaos like the world.
Yes.
Right? And when things go wrong, I'm hooked up to the one who makes it right.
Exactly.
But I got to declare it. I got to declare it. I got to take up my sword.
Yeah. You believe it in your heart. You say it with your mouth.
Yeah.
All the promises of God come that way.
Yes.
It's been so wonderful. Thanks, Jody, for joining us.
Thank you for having
me. You ministered to me, Jody. I love it so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And we're so thankful for all our partners that help us to do this every single time. We have all of our different platforms, all the different things we do. We're thankful to all of our partners that help us to spread the gospel. We've been called to reach people and change lives one soul at a time. And I believe that we've reached many today with the good news about Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Great teaching, Jody.
So
good.
Wonderful.
So good. And, you know, if you're not a partner, you can become one. All the information's always there on the screen. And we just want to say thank you for even considering it. And we pray over your seed and trust God to supply your needs so there's no lack in any area of your life, including financially.
That's true.
And that's a great promise that we have today.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again, Jody, one more time.
Thank
Hope you'll come back and bring us maybe another study, whatever God's putting on your heart. And Chrissy, again, thanks.
I love being with you both. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're a dynamic trio.
Go and
the
be
glorious
blessed.
Girls.
And the glorious girls. I love that.
Yeah, glorious girls. And thank you for joining me today in Studio C. I hope you'll join me next week for another great program that we'll know that God will be glorified and your life will be blessed. You'll never be the same again. God bless you.